Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining. And as you know, I've said it a million and one times. One. This platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. We've got a great interview with a young lady by the name of Jamie Sigurdsson. I hope I got that right. That's Sigurdsson, that S-I-G-U-R-D-S-S-O-N. She is the director of workers' comp at a wonderful company called Cora Physical Therapy. And you know what we're going to be talking about? That's right, workers' comp. And how do you continue to provide solutions and services to the people that you are treating in this world of virus? Let's get going. Yep. You know, it's interesting because, you know, one day it was everything was fine, and then the next day your business was shut down or whatever it might be. The whole economy just sort of shifted, right? It was a matter of 24 hours. And one of the questions I had, and fortunately for me, I get to work with those wonderful people at Cora Physical Therapy, that, what about the people who need care? What about that? How do we deal with the individuals that are within a routine, workers' comp, getting treated? What are the solutions? How are you as a company adapting to this world we live in today? And how are you going to go forward with it? And how is it changing some business? But Jamie brings the truth bomb. And what's great about Cora Physical Therapy, one, is the fact that they're there to help. You can call any of the clinics and they'll be there to help and give you some answers, because me, I don't have the answers. That's why I talk to people like Jamie and others within Cora, because they are a business that has to continue to provide solutions and services for people going forward no matter what. And they do, and they never cut corners, and they just plain innovate. And that's what we need today. We need people, we need leaders to innovate, especially when it comes to providing care to people in need and are in some sort of stage of recovery. Cora Physical Therapy, doggone it, and Jamie and the rest of the team at Cora Physical Therapy, boom, they know what they're doing. All right, we also have a program called Operation Phoenix, and this is in line with Operation Phoenix in a big way. One, we know that we just can't, you know, what? This is going to pass. We've got to think about ways of being able to overcome the challenges. And you get the analogy, rising from the ashes, operative. Cora Physical Therapy fits right in line. They're there to help everybody rise from the ashes and be able to provide solutions going forward. And for many, and for some it's going to be difficult, but for many, we'll be a better company, better opportunities in the future. So anyway, let's get going with that interview. This is Jamie, and I'm going to say the last name again, Sigurdsson. I hope I got that again right. And she is the director of workers' comp and workers' compensation for you out there, and with Cora Physical Therapy. Enjoy the interview, because she was just an absolute delight. All right, Jamie, welcome to Radio Cora. Thank you very much for joining. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm living the dream, especially during this the virus world we live in. Give us a little background, listeners out there. Give us a background on where you are and what you do and how incredible professional.
Well, I'm at my house, like 100% of the people in the world today, sitting at home. But yes, on a day-to-day basis, I actually work for Cora Physical Therapy, and I have been with them for almost 20 years. Yeah,
you're a seasoned pro, because a lot of them, it's much younger than that, like
yeah,
tenure-wise.
Yeah, you had to add that so you didn't make me seem old.
See, that's okay. You caught it, man. That was very wise of you. I was just like, Scott, that was sort of a dead end. There it is. That's the way to wear it. You caught me.
Yeah. So I am the director of workers' compensation. I oversee our operations, our clinical day-to-day operations as well, and our sales and business development. For all 9 states, Cora is in Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Illinois, and Virginia.
So man, you rattled that off like a pro, man. So, and it's interesting when somebody asks me about Cora, I always just say, yeah, it's East Coast dish, down and up. That's the extent of energy I put into that because you guys are everywhere. And I think it's in a fabulous business model when you get right down to it, because you have a lot of consistency across multiple platforms. Now that's great, because we're going to be talking a little bit about workers' comp. What do we do today in this particular environment? The question I have for you just right off the bat, is workers' comp consistent from state to state to state to state and clinic, or is there some little nuances that exist between different states and so on?
So the nuances are minor. They may be fee schedules, how people are allowed to bill, who's allowed to treat. But overall, specifically in physical therapy, I would say there's a lot of consistency. And Cora has streamlined some of that consistency. In other words, Cora's goals remain the same from state to state. Our goal is to get them back to work, right? So how we treat our patients from one state to the other is ultimately with the same end game or the end result. So there's not a whole lot of differences on the treatment side. There may just be, like I said, little nuances on whether an athletic trainer can be involved in treatment, how many units are allowed to be billed. So can somebody be treated for an hour and a half versus 45 minutes? So little things like that. But for the most part, we have a consistent system that we use in all of our states that allows us to make sure that there's not overutilization of care, and that we are working on getting them back to work using the essential job demands they have to be able to do. So we want to be able to say, by the time treatment is over, they can do X, Y, and Z, which are essential for this job.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, that there is some level of consistency across the country in that sense within core physical therapy, because I would only imagine that would be just an absolute nightmare if it's like, no, we're special here and we do this over here. And it's like, I don't know how you even manage that type of but that's good. That's good. So let's break it down to something that's real time right now. And it's like this virus thing. Yesterday it was, I rail against calling it a COVID-19. I'm more general. This virus thing. Anyway, it was known one day, and then all of a sudden it shut down everything the next. And nobody ever really thought about the in-between, the people who are currently being treated in a workers' comp type of environment. Can you sort of explain a little bit about that challenge?
Yeah, I mean, work comp doesn't stop, right? So there are still people that are working. There are still people that are getting injured at work. And those people still require care. And there's also some people that were injured at work before all this happened that still require care. And we talk about healthcare being one of the essential services in the industry. But accessibility to healthcare is really the challenge right now, because a lot of places may not be open, or the place that they were going to for treatment has different hours. They may not be able to attend the visits that they were planning on attending, or they may have immunosuppressant, compromise where they can't attend what they need in order to get better, or they have a family member in their house and they don't want to risk. So there's a lot of challenges right now with the people that are injured or have work comp claims, varying from, do I attend? Do I take that risk? Am I not going to get my workers' compensation benefits if I miss an appointment? There's a lot of challenges going on.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And what ails me, because my local primary care walk-in clinic might be closed right now, or just isn't accepting people because they're limiting their care to people that are positive symptomatic for coronavirus. So those are all challenges that I think we're coming across.
So with that said, I mean, that's a basket full of uncertainty, that's like,
exactly.
That's squishy in a big way. What do you recommend? What steps do you recommend that can be implemented today to sort of take that squishy little basket full of stuff and bring some control over it?
Right. Well, I think the first thing is limit isolation, right? So communication is key. If you are an adjuster, a nurse, case manager, a healthcare provider, and you are working with an injured worker, you need to heighten your communication with them, because right now there's so many unsure, like unknowns in what's going on, that if they have any lapse in communication, I feel like they're going to start pulling down that, you know, that fear level and start thinking they've forgotten about me. I don't know what to do. I'm never going to get better. And that could be a vicious cycle. So really create some sort of communication calendar with the injured worker to improve their level of confidence so that they're getting the care and the attention that the injury requires. And I would say that's important on so many different levels.
Yeah. Who needs to facilitate that? So it, you know, like a switch, boom, today we're in, you know, virus world USA. Who needs to initiate that communication?
So
and recognize there's an isolation. Go ahead.
If there is a case manager involved, the case manager, ultimately their job is, right, to manage the entire case. So I really do feel like it's ultimately their responsibility to initiate. But I think from a healthcare provider standpoint, it's important for us, whether you're the physician's office or the physical therapy facility, to kind of initiate that communication and find out why somebody's missing their appointments. And that way you can problem solve with them on how to come up with a solution. So for example, you know, if a patient cancels and their workers' compensation and they're on, you know, a CORA schedule, we're going to reach out and say, did you miss because of, you know, transportation issues, or can you not make it to our facility? And then we can discuss some alternate plans, you know, and we can get into this later, but there's so many other options out there, right? There's telerehab, there's telemedicine, but first you need to communicate and find out the why. Why are they not able to attend their appointments? Because then we can come up with some tangible solutions so that we can continue their improvements and continue their rehab.
See, I like the fact that you can take the proactive step. You, core physical therapy, can take that proactive step. You can't see into the case manager's mind right now. They, of course, they've got a lot, whatever they're dealing with too as well. But you control the schedule in the sense that if somebody doesn't show up, at least you could say, hey, how come? Or if they do show up, hey, how's your case manager? Everything going okay? You getting the information you need? And you can be that conduit of being able to provide some sort of, hey, back to the case manager, I just want to let you know that blah, 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 or whatever communication. And you can never communicate too much, especially now.
Especially now. Yeah. I mean, people are sitting around. So what used to feel like, you know, 2 hours now feels like 24 hours. You know, there's a lot of delays in people are feeling, you know, so
yeah,
used to be busy all the time. People aren't as busy right now. So when you're sitting around doing nothing, you're just contemplating fearful thoughts. Most people, you know, they have all these crazy things that are going through their mind, these scenarios. And so you want to limit people's ability to create false hope or false, you know, scenarios in their head about what is the doom and gloom of what's going to happen. And instead be very specific. This is what you need to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is, you know, the end game. And then we have a goal, right? You need to set goals. It's really important right now to have goals with your injured workers on what the plan is.
And it's funny because we're all new to this whole thing. I mean, everybody's been touched some way, shape, or form. We're all new. And I've been looking out at there. Somebody says, it is Monday today. So congratulations. Thank you very much. It's Monday. and I realized myself, I can't even keep track of the time. What day is it today? The only reason I know it's Monday because I mowed the lawn yesterday. So anyway,
well, the only reason I was able to get on this appointment was because I know my kids have piano at 3:15 and they were talking about getting ready for that. I was like, oh, I have an appointment. I don't know what time of day it is half the time, because when you work from home, you're working. I feel like I'm working all day long, night, day, it morning, is. Noon, just getting the job done.
That's exactly correct. That's a whole nother subject matter to con. So let's say we established communication is key. What are some of the things that we can help sort of provide, you know, what are some solutions that are out there?
So that's to keep the injured worker engaged, right?
Yes.
We already know that. But now the case manager and the risk manager and the adjuster need to know that there are platforms out there today that allow improved communication and also that allow for a variety of different service opportunities, meaning, so telemedicine, we've all heard those names. There's also telerehab. And CORA is one of the companies we're lucky enough to have established a platform prior to this. So we were prepared and ready. But we also have electronic note systems. So one of the case managers was saying to me today, I'm not getting notes, so I don't really know what's going on in their care. So it's hard for me to be a manager of it because, you know, normally I visit with the doctor and I know what the doctor is saying, and now I have to rely on notes. And if I'm not getting the notes, I don't know what the plan of care is. So find a communication platform that works. Reach out to your referral sources and find out what type of communication platform can we use so that there's no delay in communicating medical records. I think that's really, really important. For Cora, we have a system called eNotes. We can give access to eNotes to physicians. We can give access to eNotes to case managers. And at the end of the day, in real time, they can find out exactly what is happening with the care of their injured workers. Obviously I work for Cora, but there's so many other physician offices and other medical providers that may have something similar or something that they can use, even if it's a dedicated fax number, a dedicated phone line, something to be able to streamline that communication.
It's interesting because I've had this conversation with another company, and so companies were operating one day and then they were shut down the next day, and they still are trying to carry on business in some way, shape, or form, but they don't have an e-platform to be able to access contracts, right? So what do you do? They're in a cabinet someplace, and I can't get to them. And that is that's a big deal. So you're saying, hey, we've got this e-platform, that I can access anywhere to get that information directly.
Absolutely. It'll provide, you know, injured workers' schedules, their cancellations, what the notes are, how they're improving, you know, even like when we discharge them. So that way there's no delay between discharge and getting back to the doctor so they can be released back to work as soon as possible.
Can you give that e-note, can you give e-notes, what is it, access to, let's say, the risk manager, the adjuster, can they have access to that?
Yeah, so if they just reach out to my email, then I can connect anybody to our eNote system that potentially falls in line with what, you know, they have to be within the claim. So there's some HIPAA guidelines and stuff like that. Right, but yeah, for the most part, we don't have any problem giving people access.
See, that would be great because then you eliminate that, well, I can't get to my file. I don't know where I'm at, whatever it is. And it makes your efforts far more streamlined too, because you're entering notes, you're sticking it into the e-notes, and there it is. Yep. And it's accessible to other people, which is a pretty good model.
Right. Again, you know, creating a communication platform that works.
Yeah.
It's really important.
I work from home, and so I'm fine. I grab my food, I bring it back over here, and it's all that good. But the reality is a lot of people don't, and that becomes a very mentally challenging thing to deal with, and making sure that you're being productive or whatever it might be. What other things do we need to be aware of? Like, I think you mentioned a little bit on an ongoing, get in a calendar, get on a schedule of some sort. I think that it's important. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think that if you are communicating with your patients or your injured workers on a regular basis, and they know to expect your follow-up or to expect your call, they're going to be more comfortable and prepared to have conversations with what their needs are, what their concerns are. I know for me personally, I have a relationship with a nurse due to some medical stuff that I have, and she calls me once a month and we communicate, and it really keeps me on track with my doctor's visits, with my medicines, everything like that. It's just someone to hold you accountable for what you're doing, right? So if we just say, here, you need to take care of this stuff and you go for it and we'll see you in 3 months, you know, the injured workers are going to have so much going on. They're not going to create that system that's going to allow them to progress. So one of the nice things about our telerehab platform is there is some, it's called BlueJay, which is one of our platforms, and it allows for us to actually have the patient record what they're doing when they're not even doing visits with us. So we can make sure that they're keeping up with their exercises. They can send messages across this platform. So if they have some concerns, they can get some immediate feedback. So it just gives them more, you know, stability, like, okay, I have somebody that I can talk to on a regular basis. And in some respects, you know, they have even more ability to communicate regularly than when they go to the clinic. But I think that's really important right now, right? Because of that isolation factor. So people want to be able to know, since they have no control over what's going on in the environment, they want to be able to get those answers or those answers to those questions immediately. So
there is a hypersensitivity there. You're absolutely exactly. correct, especially today. And that brings up that good point. You can't, especially today, delay in getting back. You almost like, if you're going to contact me now, right? I expect it now. And if you delay, then my mind begins to play tricks on me. So it's yep. hypersensitivity to that.
Right. And one of the things that I was trying to explain to some of the nurse case managers is, so the federal government has actually created a little bit less oversight for HIPAA during this pandemic. So there is some more flexibility in platforms. A lot of companies still strategically want, HIPAA compliant platforms, which our Blue Jay platform is, but they do allow for some alternative forms of video conferencing. So if for some reason someone's network on Blue Jay isn't working, and they say, can I just call you on FaceTime? In the past, that would have been a no-no. But right now the government has said, if you need to use that video interfacing in order to get what they need from the patient and to be able to communicate with the patient, it's acceptable. Just let them know. Right? Your privacy may not be 100% guaranteed because right. this is not a HIPAA platform. So nurse case managers that normally go to visits with their, with their injured workers, they go to the doctor visits and they're like, oh, I can't go because I can't, go there with them. They're not allowing me to. You know what? Think about FaceTiming that visit with the patient
yes.
and having those conversations with the doctor, because then you don't have to wait for the note, because you'll know what the, what was said right then and there. As long as the patient is willing to allow you to be involved in that video conference, which I think most of them will, because they want case managers to know what's going on yeah. and to have that communication, then you're going to be one step ahead of the game. So don't be afraid to use video conferencing in multiple different platforms today. Just because you can't leave your house, doesn't mean you can't have face-to-face interaction with your clients, with the physicians, with the physical therapists. There's so many venues out there and so many platforms that allow you to have that video conferencing.
I'm telling you, tech is an enabler, and it does, it's a positive mm-hmm. enablement platform. And I guess the key takeaway here is make sure you can do something, but bottom line, because of the leniency, sorry, my phone decided it wanted to hear me. That you just have some flexibility, especially during this time, right. because it really is about the care of that person. And well,
right.
It's okay. If you were sorry. Watching out on video, it looked like the
something. A door almost opened on me. I had to put my hand up to protect myself.
Good move. That's how we roll here. It is what it is.
Did you see fear in my face?
I did. I was like, is she going to be okay? Oh my gosh, there it is, man. She's gone. Call somebody. We got a video conference going on. We're communicating.
Okay, that was for everyone's amusement. Going back to how fast video conferencing can occur and how you can use any platform. You can be sitting in a bedroom.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there it is.
On the floor, having a conversation.
Because everybody's at home, I've seen kids walk on by, just yep. like carrying a plate of food. All right, there it goes. Man. It's
no well, you deal. Almost saw a door face, so.
Hey, that's okay. You prevailed. Looks like you soldiered on through it. Okay, one last question I have. And if I were to, there's got to be a list of contacts. I mean, we like today, once again, yesterday we were fine. Today, everything just sort of shut down and I don't have a list of contacts. Is that the responsibility of that case manager, or who do I need to talk to? Just get some contacts.
So I would say reach out to the people you use most first, right?
Yes.
If you have, if you're using Cora on a regular basis, reach out to Cora and say, who's my point of contact?
Yes.
Right? Who can I talk to about getting established contracts? Or are you guys on contract with the panels? Which panels are you on contract with? It may take one extra step in the beginning, but I think in the end, you're going to have a list of people that you can rely on to help you through these challenging times and help you navigate the waters. So, we're doing tele-rehab for multiple different networks. Mm-hmm. But we're also doing them because there's some physical therapy companies that just don't have this option, right? So they have to close down, they may be in a state where they have to close and they don't have tele-rehab. So we're actually communicating with some networks to capture that business as well, because just because your physical therapy company can't operate doesn't mean you can't continue your care, right? So we're working with a lot of different people to kind of collaborate and come up with solutions that work across, you know, across multiple avenues and with multiple different clients. So you just have to find contacts that you can use that can make decisions and that can make things move forward in a way that's going to benefit your needs. And once you find that, any problem you have, you'll have a solution in minutes.
See, what's interesting, I interviewed Susie or Ann Schutz. Yes, Ann Schutz.
Yeah, we both have really great last names.
Yeah, I'm getting worn out by core physical therapy. I'm looking for Dawn Jones. I can pronounce that one. but what the thing that we talked away, and you just brought it up again, and I think this is real important for the listeners out there, that Cora is there for you. You guys are a phone call away, and you have a desire and a passion and a heart to be able to help people who are challenged. You're not going to walk away. You're not going to say, "I'm sorry, Scott McKenzie, but we can't help you." That's not in your vocabulary, and you do that.
No.
And you try to find solutions, which if I were to simplify this whole conversation, just call Cora. Cora will help you through whatever, and we'll get whatever information that they need. I think that's easy peasy. I like that.
Yeah, we have, like you just said, we get calls directly from patients.
Yeah.
We get calls from physician offices wanting to know how it works. We get calls from adjusters, case managers, networks, employers. Anybody and everybody who has a question about how does this whole thing work and how can we make it easier, reach out and we look at a solution that works best for you. Because Cora is all about problem solving and coming up with that solution.
It's very cool. Everybody, 100%. I've interviewed a lot of you folks, and I got to tell you, 100%. Always cared about the end, whoever that patient is. Always, always, always. Okay, are you active out on LinkedIn?
I am.
Okay, so here's...
I sent you my LinkedIn link. I'm not good with knowing my tag.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not a social media
But if you
person,
want to reach out to her and find out more, I always refer to LinkedIn just because it's sort of an easy place. Everybody knows where to go. And type in J-A-I-M-E. The last name is S-I-G-U-R. Keep going. D-S-S-O-N. And how do you say that?
Sigurdsson.
Sigurdsson. Got it. And reach out, because I guarantee you there's not many Sigurdsson with the first name Jamie out there. So reach out if you have any questions regarding anything. I guarantee you Jamie is there. I get a sense of that. She survived a door opening. She's amazing. She's resilient. Jamie, thank you very much for joining Radio Cora. You were wonderful.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
And I know you listeners out there, we're going to wrap it up on the other side, so stay tuned. Do not go away. I'm telling you, do not go away. You're going to miss out on some stuff, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Again, Jamie Sigurdsson, and she is the Director of Workers' Compensation at Cora Physical Therapy. Yep, she knows what she's doing. As well as the professionals at Cora Physical Therapy know what they're doing. At a minimum, if you have any questions whatsoever, that little question mark is above your head and you're going, I wonder what's going on. I highly recommend that you reach out to Cora Physical Therapy and say, hey, I heard your podcast and Scott said that I could call you and just ask you some questions. If they don't have the answer, they probably know who. So anyway, that's Cora Physical Therapy. And reach out, find out more, get the truth, right? Let's get the truth out there. They're in the front lines. They're doing everything they can. And again, this is we're starting Operation Phoenix, and we're going to be providing great sales insights, great financial insights, great human capital stuff, leadership stuff, insights, and operations and technology. And the reason for that, well, we need solutions. We need to innovate. We need to be able to do that, and I'm going to be highlighting the best of the best within that area, I guess you could say. And they're gracious enough, and the companies that are participating, absolutely wonderful. You'll see me thank them time and time again. Always, Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what we're going to be doing. We need you more than ever. Take care and be safe.